The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude, and Wendell, this beautiful Tuesday afternoon in Sydney town. How are you boys going? How are you going, Jude?
Yeah, going well, Gussie. Good to see you, Del. Just pumped for a big show today, mate. It's exciting.
There's a lot going on the show today. We are talking to many, many guests, boys, and no one bigger than Wayne Carey. Is he coming into the show?
No. I'm going to tell you a story about Wayne Carey, mate.
So he's not coming in. You're just going to chat about him.
Is it going to be a good story?
Let's just say he took our Wendell Saylor down a peg. Whoa. It was a week or so ago.
I do like. Now how are you feeling? Because you don't like this weather, do you?
No, I don't like this weather. Yeah. I'm like a big bear in hibernation. So when cold weather comes around or, you know, it's raining and that, I just like to stay in and watch Netflix and my energy levels sort of drop a little bit.
Okay. So you know that. So when you've got a show on, you're just professional and you lift.
He lifts.
I get in here early, a little bit grumpy early, but then I just lift because I know that all the listeners out there, they want Del to be at his best.
What about Toto Albanese? And if you don't know who that is Albo, our new Prime Minister's dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, Australia. Dad thought it'd be a very good idea to get me a Twitter account, so here I am. Woof. And it's a picture of our new Prime Minister on the phone with the puppy dog, Toto, on his lap. 7,000 followers so far on
Twitter.
Yeah.
But he's not home at the moment, is he? Arbo? He's nicked over to Japan.
The quad meeting. I thought Del would go over for the quad meeting with those big quads he's got.
But, yeah, I should
the quad meeting is Japan, Australia, America, and India all get together talking about climate change.
Yeah.
He's taken Penny Wong, who's the foreign minister. Over, and they're in Japan. He hit the ground running, the big fella, isn't he? I
mean, he was literally on the plane. He got sworn in and left 2 hours later.
And then there's that photo as well of him on Twitter, just like the PM or like the president in America, sitting in the plane, like in a war room situation. Yeah, an Air Force One sort of on the phone talking to people and stuff.
Yeah.
Like he was literally just a politician on Saturday, and now he's a world leader.
Yes.
It's a pretty cool thing.
It is, especially
your head would be spinning, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
Yeah, especially his upbringing and what he's been through. I mean, obviously we've heard it all.
Yeah.
But, mate, well done to him. And I just hope it doesn't change him because sometimes it can change you.
No doubt in the world. What I love about Australia is you get a chance to vote. Mm. After that, someone gets in, let's get behind them.
Yep.
Whether you voted for them or not, let's get behind them. The next few years could be really important for Australia and looks like he's going to have a majority government as well. So we can actually govern rather than having to compromise.
Got 76 seats, exactly.
And all those teal independents. Got no power, baby. Well, you got no power.
Unless there's a by-election at some stage and someone gets ousted. So,
I know. So you've still got to keep them sweet.
You've got to keep them sweet.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. And before we talk about this nasty topic, let's give a big happy birthday to Anthony Minicello, boys.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea how old he is, but the count looks so young now. He looks like he could play.
Yeah.
World's number one there, golden boot winner.
Basically,
Lockyer moved to six so he could go to number one.
And incredible
player. So we know you're listening.
Him and Brett Stewart were sort of there, and then Minnie just went bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. Back injury, came back, won a premiership, captained the Roosters to that. So happy birthday, Minnie. We know you're listening right now.
But let's talk about.
Yeah, we love the count. Not going to tolerate it. Sir Peter Volandis condemns fans after referees receive credible death threats. Man was charged by police last month for making death threats to referees. Two other referees have reportedly been subject to death threats of late, and the referees in Bunker have been in the eye of the storm this weekend again. In fact, they seem to be every weekend. We talk about it quite a bit, but this is different gravy now. Talking about having shouting and screaming, being pumped up and emotional in the moment compared to actually making a death threat when these people have got families, kids, and so forth.
Decisions have been argued over since the start of time, you know, that sort of stuff. And that's part of the game. We love that sort of theatre. That's the water cooler talk. You know, if we got that decision right, maybe it would have changed momentum. But this is just completely stepping over the mark, Del. I just hate this that, you know, these referees have families, kids, and then they're in their workplace. They should not have to deal with that sort of crap.
Do you expect them to get a certain amount of abuse? They probably understand they're going to get shouted and screamed at by the fans and so forth, but this is another level, Del.
Yeah, man, I just wonder, you know, it's just, you know, someone's daughter or son. Imagine, you know, we're trying to encourage referees and, you know, men and women to come through and the boys and girls to, you know, to be that next level. But when you see them getting death threats, look, mate, we're all not perfect and we all can't get it right. But it just, this makes me so angry. Like, it's sport. It's not life and death. you know, over in Russia at the moment, we're seeing a war that's been going on for the last 6 weeks. This is sport. Stop threatening people and stop abusing people. There's a certain amount of thing that comes with the game. And even sometimes when I used to sledge Bill Harrigan, in a good way, I go, "Hi, don't worry, boys. Bill's backed him with 6.5 today." And then Bill would have a go at me and say, "Mate, pull your head in, blah, blah." And
as I go, "Right,
yeah, yeah."
As
he should. What did you say to him? Bill's.
I go, "Oh, don't worry, boys. I think Bill's backed him with 6.5 today." Just been a bit chirpy, you know, it's my sledging and that. And Bill Harrigan put me in my place. He always put me in my place, and that's the way it was. But then this is a whole new level. This is a whole new sort of kettle of fish, you know?
Well, they're talking about referees. Never had more record numbers of people wanting to be referees and touch judges at the junior level. But the retention rate.
Yes.
They cannot retain them. About 30% get retained each year. That's the problem. Is that they want to be involved in the game, but then perhaps not quite up to it skill-wise. So they want to be a ref or a touchy, and then they lose 70% in the following year. So retention's key. You put so much time and effort into them. They're not, you know, the main reason why they're not deciding to come back the next season? Abuse from parents. Yeah. And we're talking about young kids here.
And that's right. You put yourself in their shoes. It's such a tough position, you know, if you've ever umpired or refereed any junior games, it's like there's so much pressure anyway.
Oh, it's hard.
And you're like, let alone at the elite level, things are happening. Yeah. It's split-second decisions and everyone makes mistakes.
And I think we're part of the problem too in and around the media, because sometimes we focus on that. So if we focus on that, you know, the fans are going to focus on that, and they think because they're paying members and they love the game that they can have their say in it. So I think we are part of the problem, so we can be part of the solution as well.
I love that Sir Peter Volandis has condemned it, though. Like, we just got to
make Sir Peter?
Yeah, we call him Sir Peter.
Well, why do you call him Sir Peter?
Because he did such a great job keeping the game going through the COVID era. Rugby league is all about tribalism and a bit of banter and arguing about refs. Been part of the game for years, as you said, Del and Jude. But you can't go overboard. Give them a fair go. It's a tough job. We're right behind you there, mate. Yeah. Anything we can do to help. And to all the referees out there, we know you make some mistakes. Referees, we get frustrated with you, but good on you for doing it. We would not have a game without you. And up next, Jude, you've got a story about the duck, Wayne Carey.
Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Let's talk about the Duck, one of the legends. Wayne Carey, you'd say, is the top three AFL players of all time if people don't know him.
Yeah, always in the upper echelon of players when they look at the best players in the AFL. And let's just say the Duck was in Sydney Town a week or so ago, and he'd come up for a function, and it was the Good Bloke Society, and our Wendell Saylor was there. And
he's an ambassador, I think, for the Good Bloke Society.
Yeah, I am, bloke.
Questionable. Anyway, but there's some heavy hitters in the room. You know, Mark Burris is there, guest speaker, Timmy Gilbert is hosting, and, you know, Duck's there strutting around, and there's Dell as well strutting around. So it's like bull elephants, you know, drinking down at the, you know, everyone's muscling up a little bit, that sort of stuff.
Who's the biggest alpha in the room with these two bunnies?
So let's just say, obviously in Sydney, you know, it's a rugby league sort of crowd.
Yeah.
Duck is talking to Del, and this girl's come up and sort of said, "Oh, Wendell, how are you?" and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, he's strutting, he's got peacock sort of, steps up.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
And then she's even taken Duck down. So I said, "Oh, I don't know you. Were you a good player?"
Oh.
And then Del jumps in and sort of goes, always pumping himself up, and goes, "Well, you know how good a player I was. Like, Duck was the equivalent in the AFL." And Duck turns around and just goes, "Yeah, probably the next level above, to be honest."
It's so true.
Shut him down.
I was just trying to help him out, and I said, you know what I was in rugby league? I said, he's probably, like, you know, similar to me. And he looks at me and goes,
did he just literally with disdain?
Yeah, just like, probably the next level above.
He's just shot him down.
I loved it. I respect that.
Do you mind that?
No, I don't mind, Chris, mate.
You get it.
He's one of the reasons why I followed AFL, but, like, he's got big energy, and he was that good. I remember asking Bruce McAvaney one time, who's the best AFL player, you know, when we were in the 2003 World Cup, he came and was guest speaker, and he said to me, he said Wayne Carey was the best he'd seen at that time, and, you know, he'd obviously seen Lee Matthews and all these players, Michael Voss and that, so I respect that. I love the Duck, and we've had some good nights, me and the Duck.
I got no doubt about that at all. The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Favourite call is $50 to spend at the movies. Top Gun coming out on Thursday. We're about to throw it open again on 133353. Yesterday we spoke about a man in Poole in the UK that brought home a double-decker bus after a big night out. He crept into the bus terminal. He had a little sleep, and then he thought, you know what? the keys are in it. I'm going to take it home. Did a little bit of damage on the way home because he didn't quite know how to drive it. And then we threw it out on the open line. What have you brought home after a big night out? Here's a recap of our callers. What did you bring home?
A parking meter.
Oh,
okay.
Why?
It was one of the old style ones where you put the 20 cents in and the thing clicks around on hour, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. It was my son. He brought home a Crazy John sign.
After a few too many Yagi bombs one night, when we woke up the next morning, we went outside to have our coffee and we had a couple of ducks in our pool.
Well, didn't
ducks,
it go well?
The Crazy John signs. There were so many callers, weren't there?
Well, the Yagi bombs, it's obviously like a little nickname for the...
Yeah.
For a Jager bomb.
Yeah.
133353, we're going to do it again. What did you bring home after a big night out? Tracy in Blacktown. What happened, Trace?
Well, it wasn't me because I'm a good girl, of course.
Of course.
But my husband and his mates, they're a different story. They're a real twisted bunch. Okay. Now, I'm going back about 25 years. So remember the days when Kmart used to have those great big Orchi machines out the front of their stores?
Yes.
Yes, right. Okay, so Kmart Blacktown forgot to lock that away one night. So obviously my husband and his twisted bunch of mates decided that they would unplug that and wheel it home.
Okay.
So that was at the front of every party we had for the next 10 years. It was good value.
Oh, come so on. You got away with it.
Vodka oranges.
Yeah, absolutely. It sure did. Yeah, and it holds quite a lot of liquor, let me tell you.
Oh, so good.
Oh, so you changed the drink up. Thank you, Trace. What about Andrew in Campbelltown? G'day, Andrew.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Andrew. Mate.
What did you bring home after a big night out?
A couple of friends and I, we were having beers at my mate's house, and we went around the corner to Red Rooster, and we stole the R.
Oh,
the R from the rooster. We climbed up on the roof and popped the R out and took it home.
What made you do it, Andrew? What was your thought process?
El Rooster.
Oh, my mate, he loves Red Rooster. We dropped it on his doorstep the next morning.
Wouldn't you take the S, though?
Yeah,
so
no,
it's Red Rooster.
He had no idea what was going on. So another mate of ours, he wasn't there with us.
It should be Red Rooster. Take the S.
No, take but, the S.
Well, his mate, yeah, I suppose.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Ben in Ryde. G'day, Ben.
Hey, how you going, boys?
We're fantastic. Thanks for listening. What did you bring home after a big night out?
Well, a bit of a backstory. It was my 21st back in the day where people used to give you money instead of presents.
Yep.
So we went out after the 21st and obviously didn't get home till quite early in the morning and brought a horse home with us.
What?
A horse?
Yeah, a horse.
Where did you steal this horse from, boys?
We can't remember, but it was brown.
Oh, wow.
Did you walk it in or did you ride it in?
We had an acre property in Melbourne at the time, so we just let it go in the backyard, and Mum kicked our doors in at about 11 o'clock in the morning and said, don't care where you got it from, get rid of it.
Oh, so yeah. What did you do with the horse, Ben?
We got rid of it, so I can't remember what we did. We
okay. You don't remember how you got it? You don't remember
we don't
what
remember
happened?
How we got it. No.
It's a very foggy story.
We thought it was funny. It was fun.
Good on you, Ben. Great story. What about Maddie and Auburn? Matt, finish it off for us, mate. What did you bring home after a big night out?
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah, wonderful to talk to three Australian representatives there.
Thank you, Maddie. Oh, thank you.
That's all right, mate. The big fella. I know they don't give you much credit.
We shouldn't. You know. We never do.
Well, Dell played twice. You played an international game. It's not actually your game. Yeah. So really should be just Dell and I.
No, yeah, dodgeball, yeah. Gotcha.
Anyway,
what'd you bring home?
Yeah, sorry, guys. Sorry, yeah. Well, I used to own a fish and trawler, prawn trawler, back in the 80s there, and we went to sea. Actually, Midnight Oil at the Royal Antler Hotel.
Mm.
And we had a mate that worked on the ferries who told us how to get them started. And we decided to take a ferry from Manly Wharf and get the circular key in it so we could get home.
No way.
You took one of the Manly ferries.
How did you get away with that?
That's unbelievable.
Well, there was nobody there and it was just parked. So we untied it. And it was like about 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And, you know, security guards back in the 80s there. And, a friend of ours told us how to start them. So I had boat license, knew how to drive big ferries and stuff. And,
So when you parked it in, did at Circular Quay, did you then just sort of hook it up and just left? And that was it?
Yeah, that was it. There was nobody there either. So we just got off, jumped on the train and,
wow.
And went home.
That's incredible.
You're a bloody genius, Matty. Thank you so much. And thanks to all the calls we couldn't get to as well. What an absolute ripper topic. Boys, I wanted to ask you two, obviously, Del, we muck around with both you actually around a lot of things. But the simple fact is you both played your games of choice at the highest level for a very long time. You won premierships. You know what you're talking about. So I wanted to talk about sportsmanship with you guys for a moment right now and ask you a question without notice around, in particular, I noticed in the playoffs and the basketball, as soon as the game is lost, the teams just walk off. There's no shaking of the hands at all until the series is finished. Exactly the same in the baseball. Exactly the same in all the sports that I've seen so far in America, the Stanley Cup with the ice hockey as well. Like, shouldn't you, after competing at the highest level, at the end of the game, shake each other's hands before going to your dressing room and doing what you need to do? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, maybe ask Del first, because you obviously played an Origin series, whereas we're always individual games, so it was always an opportunity to shake it.
Yeah.
What was it like in the series for you?
No, when you played that, even that one game, a series of games, you still shake hands after 80 minutes, win, lose, or draw. You still shake hands, you reset and go again. And sometimes back in the day, Origin, we still used to catch up with the boys for a beer afterwards, like Queensland, New South Wales, you know? Like Freddie and that would go, mate, come to the Coogee Bay or something, let's have a beer on that. So we, you know, the Queensland.
Would you do that in dressing rooms as well, or would you do it outside?
When the series was over, mate, sometimes, you know, obviously I think that the intensity now is a bit different to when we played, but a lot more, back in the 90s and early 2000s, it was a lot more relaxed. But yeah, the intensity, even then went to rugby. Rugby is the same too. We play, you know, we're playing in a Tri-Nations or a Bledisloe and that. You'd still shake hands afterwards. And then sometimes you'd see the boys. I remember a couple once or twice I saw Jerry Collins out and they'd go, hey, boys, you want to come have a drink? So we'd have a drink with Jerry Collins, you know, God bless him. But yeah.
I don't like the look of it. It just does, like, it feels as if, like, it's just sort of that arrogant, oh, we're off, or we're thinking about the next game. It's like, it doesn't matter if it's a nothing handshake, but it's like, no, there's that respect, righto. I'm going to get after you the next game as well.
There's a couple of players that I've seen were asked about it, which has got me thinking, wanting to ask you boys. And they were asked the question like, you know, you must be happy you're 2-0 up in the series and you've got to win four games in a best of seven series. I go, what am I happy about? Yeah. Well, you're 2-0 up.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't won the four games yet. Yeah. We haven't won the series yet. It's like, you know exactly what the journalist is asking. You know exactly your high paid player because of journos and magazines and media and TV and radio. So just play the game. But what I didn't like was, like, 5 seconds ago, I think the Warriors were up by 6 points, so they didn't even worry about it. And the teams just turned and walked.
Yeah.
It's not a great look. Like, I mean, it's back from, you know, Kobe Bryant's the Mamba mentality. That was the similar sort of response in the press conference.
He said
nothing.
It as well.
There's just no need to be smiling or anything like that. But there should be that respect between the athletes out there just to say, we're going to fight like tooth and nail for this victory, but there's that level of respect as well.
I think it filters down to the kids, because if the kids see that and they go, well, you know, it's only junior sport and amateur sport, but they go, and they're watching their heroes do this.
Yeah.
So is that how we should do it?
Yeah, I reckon it's what you guys do and what we do in Australia is better what they're doing in the States for sure.
Up next, we're meeting our first doppelganger who will be competing in the Sutherland to Surf.
The Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell.
Welcome back to The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour MMM is our handle. Time now for this.
May I have some doppelgangers, please?
The Rush Hour's
like
doppelgangers.
Me.
Wanda Surf Lifesaving Club presents Tradie Sutherland to Surf on July 17. Celebrate 50 years and sign up now to walk or run at sutherlandtosurf.com.au.
Yeah, and we've been on the hunt for the last month or so, boys, haven't we, for that doppelganger of myself, you, two guys as well. Well, we've got our first on the line right now.
Oh, really?
We're going to introduce you to Phil from the Northern Beaches.
Oh, of course.
G'day, Phil. How are you, brother?
Good, Gus, and you?
Mate, I'm very, very well. Now, are you a Gus 2.0, a Jude 2.0, or a Del 2.0?
Mate, I'm filling the big shoes of Gus 2.0.
Oh, well. Sensational.
Sorry.
Tell us what makes you a Gus doppelganger. What's the most striking features that resemble Gus?
Well, I live on the Northern Beaches. I've got little hair up top, and I'm partial to, you know, KFC, Macca's, and... and the only running I do is running my mouth on the soccer pitch.
Oh, so do you like wearing Crocs?
No, mate.
Well, that's what this Gus does. That's okay, but at least you're the new improved.
We've got time though. We can get you into some.
I can't.
Some Crocs.
They don't come in my size.
Oh, really? Are you too big?
Yeah, yeah.
What size are you?
Size 14 or 15.
Wow.
Okay. That's... And what sort of weight are you sort of, and are you sort of thickly set, I'm assuming?
Yeah, yeah. I'm built for comfort, not for speed. Just over 6 foot and about 115, 116 kegs.
So okay. How are you going to go in the Sutherland to surf? How do you feel like you're going to run?
Mate, it'll be easy. It'll be done.
Oh, beautiful.
Are you going to run it or walk it? Or are you just going to be just to be a part of it? What's your thought process?
To be honest, I'll sort of suss it on the day, but yeah, I'll just easy jog, I'd say.
Yeah, that's perfect, mate. Well, I look forward to seeing you in here. You're going to come in and see the boys tonight. Yes,
actually,
Phil?
Can I ask, what team do you support, Phil? Rugby league team or rugby union team?
Mate, I'm a Bears boy at heart, but I followed the Broncos for the first 8 years in the competition.
Beautiful.
Well, so you're a bit of a fan of Dells then, no doubt.
Oh yeah, mate. I grew up with watching him, but also the old other guys like Joe Kilroy on the wing, Willie Kahn, Paul Hoff in the back.
Yeah, Shane Duffy, remember those? Yeah, Paul Hoff, yeah, is a great one. Brett Plowman, all these guys. Yeah, nice work.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome.
Good on you, Phil. Well, if you want to be a part of the Doppelgangers, register at triplem.com.au if you're keen to take part in the Sutherland to Surf 2022 on behalf of us. We're going to throw in $250 in cash, plus we'll get you into the studio to hang out with us for an entire show. So, Phil, you're our first cab off the rank. Look forward to seeing you, mate. We'll give you your cash and you'll come in here in the next couple of weeks, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, mate.
Good on you. There's Phil. Doesn't he sound a bloody champion?
He does. Champion. He sounds like a better bloke than you, and that's hard. That's because you are an absolute champion bloke.
And
that's
he doesn't very wear Crocs, so he's probably doesn't have hobbit feet like you. So he must be amazing.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell, driving home across this beautiful city and state. Time now to talk AFL. Time now for this.
Latest entertainment and tech gear, plus a huge range of appliances. Shop online at binglee.com.au. Available for delivery or 1 hour contactless click and collect at your local store.
Yeah, let's talk AFL. AFL fans are livid with the current set of rules due to number of free kicks being paid. What needs to happen?
Oh, this is just, I'm ropeable at it as well. I feel like we've just become this over-officious, really ticky-touchwood sort of free kick.
Ticky-touchwood? Is that a new
name? Ticky-touchwood. You know, like you're just like a really soft free kicks being paid over and over. And that means you just don't get any flow of the game. There was the Hawthorn-Brisbane game was just whistle after whistle. It just ridiculous stuff. And then the fans just get more angry and frustrated with the actual rules. They need to just fix the dissent rule, get rid of it. If there's any abuse or any aggression, bang, pay the 50-metre penalty. But when you've got people just questioning, maybe putting their arms up like...
In frustration, you know, and frustration, the emotion of the
just
moment.
Just checking where it is.
Yeah.
They're getting 50-metre penalties paid.
It's crazy.
And it's just like, I just want to remove that out. We're just creating more hassle for umpires, and that's festering down.
More negative chat too.
More negative chat.
People saying, I don't even know what this game is anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just remove that. Let's start unwinding some of the rules that have been brought into place. There's been tackles that are overzealous and have been free kicks. I just like to keep the physicality in the game as well.
Mm. Mate, what about Fremantle? That a reality check on the weekend, and Brisbane falls on the weekend. It's interesting times with these two challenges.
It is, absolutely. Fremantle were really exciting this year and have really stepped up. I thought their midfield's been fantastic, but just the last couple of weeks they've just been found out a little bit, and they've got another tough test. They play the Demons, undefeated Demons this
good
week,
luck.
First
oh,
versus fourth. So suddenly you go on the back of this really exuberant start, and Justin Longmuir, their coach, said, look, I think we've been reading the press a little bit, you know, you get ahead of yourself and suddenly get checked out. And then Brisbane went down to Tasmania, played Hawthorn.
Come on.
And the Hawks found a way under Sam Mitchell to really just, you know, step away from them and set that game up. So it's an interesting time. We want a watch on both of these sides over the next few weeks and how they bounce back. But Fremantle certainly really tough game against the D's.
And our other Sydney side, the GWS Giants, Mark McVay, first start as head coach. Not a bad, you'd want to face North Melbourne or West Coast. He gets West Coast, but, you know, they're the two easy guns at the moment. So he got the job done. How did you sort of feel that they played?
I thought he flipped the magnets a little bit, which was great to see. We saw Himmelberg go down in defence. We saw Perryman go into the midfield. He's a big body sort of type, so really tough around the midfield. Yeah, obviously an easier game playing against a side that's been decimated by COVID and injury and different things. So, you know, nothing to get ahead of right now, but
they banked the 4 points. They banked
the
4 points.
There's a confidence about, there was a freedom about the way they played. They really took the game on. So if they can keep that up, they can really, you know, take on the challenge this week, and they play on Saturday afternoon against the Brisbane Lions.
What about the Swans? They received some bad news regarding Josh Kennedy, that hamstring injury for the big man. But also they've got a big clash with the Tigers awaits them this Friday night. How are you seeing that? It's going to be a tough one for them.
Really tough game. So, you know, the Tigers are have stepped up this last little period. They've just found a lot of form. They're looking a lot stronger, a lot more cohesive. And then, yeah, really sad about Josh Kennedy. He's set to miss 6 to 8 weeks, which will put him right to the back end of the year. And, you know, just want to hopefully gets his that rehab and we see him again at the end of the year and potentially some finals.
What about Sir Doug Nicholls' Indigenous round? It continues this weekend. We spoke about it before the start of last weekend. Just a real special centrepiece of the AFL season.
It's a wonderful round, and obviously multiple rounds, because it allows the teams to play in their home on the home deck with their Indigenous jerseys. And so the Swans get to take on Richmond at the SCG on Friday night. It'll be a packed crowd.
They're coming back, aren't they, Richmond?
They are. They're looking good. They're looking really sharp. So I just love this round, though. Just the, you know, the smoking ceremonies before the game out on the field, and the Indigenous jerseys, and then the didgeridoo after some of the goals are kicked and things. So they've been such an incredible part of our footy culture, and the Indigenous players have had such an indelible mark on the game.
Have the AFL done a better job since you retired? Has it become better, stronger, deeper in their traditions around this particular round?
Yeah, I think being able to allow even the players to celebrate and be part of that as well. So some of the players are designing the jerseys,
and
in the Richmond, the Dreamtime game at the MCG, the players involved in the build up, much like the Indigenous All-Stars and things like that, just being able to have that whole connection to not only their communities, but the club as well.
And what I'd say is, for the fans that don't do the right thing, just appreciate and just enjoy the rounds. Because I saw a couple of little things over the weekend that I didn't really enjoy, you know. And I certainly, the players would be disappointed, because it's such a beautiful thing to celebrate, you know, our culture of, you know.
Well, the booing of Buddy was strange.
Oh, mate, yeah.
You know, like, are you actually booing him because he's the best player and you're trying to get him off his game?
Yeah.
Or are you booing him for other reasons, you know? And
a bit like that, yeah.
Oh, he kicked one of the most amazing. He wound back. It was a vintage goal against Carlton. He kicked one from about 65 metres from the centre square. It was unbelievable.
Mate, booing Buddy's like booing Santa Claus, mate.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. For the latest entertainment and tech gear, plus a huge range of appliances, shop online at binglee.com.au. And we appreciate your support, Bing Lee. Available for delivery on 1 hour contactless click and collect at your local store. Welcome back to The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Time now to talk to this man.
When you want to talk about the biggest games the world's ever seen, you chat to our next guest. He's covered 4 Super Bowls, reported on countless UFC events, and of course, all the NBA All-Star games he's been a part of. Crossing to us all the way from the US. And Gus, you did remember to plug the satellite in, yeah? Please welcome ESPN's Phil Murphy.
Yeah, he's an absolute legend and a friend of the show. So lovely to hear your voice again. How are you, Phil?
I'm going well. How are you all doing?
Mate, we're fantastic. Want to talk to you about all the sport that's happening in the States at the moment, in particular the NBA and the NHL, the Stanley Cup. They're getting to the pointy end, aren't they, with the Warriors doing it quite easy up against the Mavs. Let's start the ball rolling there.
Yeah, I mean, it is the business end of the season for both NBA and NHL, pick your playing surface, hardwood or ice. And the Warriors, it was about 24 hours ago, they're giving themselves a 3-0 series lead in their best of 7 series, meaning that unless Dallas go 4 out of 4, that series is over. It has never happened in the NBA. Teams that are up 3-0 in a best of 7 are 146-0 in advancing to the next round. And I'll tell you, boys, I booked non-refundable travel to San Francisco for game 1 of the NBA Finals because I am that confident the Warriors are going to find a way to close it out in the next 4. So now I have, partisan interest that they actually do it as well.
Luka Doncic has had an incredible series for the Mavs, but it looks like he hasn't got as many support casts, has he?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at certain games in the series, like Jalen Brunson will go off, but it's not even necessarily a Batman finding a Robin type thing. The Mavs have guys who have stepped up. It's just the Warriors are so deep. You have you know, Steph Curry has an off night. You turn to Klay Thompson, one of the all-time great three-point shooters. Not Steph Curry level, but still, he's going to finish top 10 all-time in made threes. Draymond Green is a defensive player of the year from yesteryear, a perennial contender for that award. And then you got guys like Kevon Looney getting a career playoff high. Andrew Wiggins looking like the number one overall pick that he was a few years ago and kind of written off for other franchises. They just have so much depth.
And turn our eyes now to the East. And obviously, you've been at the Garden today. Jason Tatum, you know, he hit back hard after just 10 points in game three. And the Boston really just routed Miami today, didn't they?
Yeah, and I'm actually still standing on the floor for TD Garden right now. I haven't yet made it back to my hotel room. It's a little half past midnight here in Boston. And this defensive showing from the Celtics was inspired and impressive. Absent their defensive player of the year, had a pretty significant ankle injury at the back end of game three. It was minor heroism for him to get back on the floor and play the final minutes of that game. But as the adrenaline dropped, as he, you know, had a night's sleep, it swelled up, and Boston erring on the side of caution, keeping him off the floor. But the other the rest of the starting five, they had all five players on Boston starting five garner votes for defensive the NBA all defense team. So you still have four very capable defenders. They held Miami to 82 points, and moreover, they held Miami to 15% shooting in the first quarter. Eric Spoelstra, Miami coach, has coached 600 playoff quarters, more than that, and that was the lowest point total they've had. Miami starters, all five of them, combined for 18 points. Mm. That is the fewest in a playoff game for a starting five in more than 50 years.
Phil, let's get on the ice, big fella, because the Lightning 4-0, they look like they're going to do it again. What an incredible team. The Panthers, in the end, just couldn't get it done. 4-0, that series, a sweep.
Yeah, and the Panthers were the better team in the regular season. It really is eye-opening, and that just shows that having done it before, having gains a measure of confidence from going to back-to-back Stanley Cups and lifting Lord Stanley's Cup in the air. There's a level of belief that this Lightning team is just destined to do it again. The Panthers were deemed the biggest hurdle for Tampa Bay, and that's the biggest thing at this end of the NHL season. I mean, we have contact sports and we have collision sports. Hockey is a collision sport. Mm. Ice hockey, that is a collision sport. So for Tampa to not only get past such a tough opponent, but do it and now get a couple days off is a dream scenario for them as they advance in the playoffs.
And lastly, just the Colorado Avalanche. They're just leading 3-1 over the Blues and looking pretty dominant as well.
Yeah, God bless the Blues. They have tried their darndest. They're just up against it. And in the regular season, it seemed like we were barreling towards an Avalanche-Panthers Stanley Cup final. The Panthers now by the wayside. Colorado Avalanche would be the ones who are tipped as favorites to get there. I mean, you look at Nathan MacKinnon, Cole Makar, they're able to score from so many different places and you know, all ends of these lines. And just a very, very dangerous team. St. Louis had opportunities early in that series to steal more games. Now having fallen behind to Colorado further 3-1, St. Louis would have to win 3 in a row against Colorado to do it. I mean, it really, really remote possibility that happens. So I think we can go ahead and pencil in erasable pen for Colorado.
Hey, get yourself to your hotel room. Get yourself to bed, mate. Plenty of work still to be done, but we appreciate you hanging in there so late to chat to us here on the Rush Hour.
Oh, boys, you left out the best part. Tomorrow morning, I fly to Miami.
There it is.
You poor thing, mate. your life. We'd love to swap with you. All the best, Phil.
Up next, we are playing a new game, the Compliment Challenge.
Yeah, babe, you look fantastic today.
Yep, right up my alley. Yep.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Time now for this.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, straight face compliment game.
That's right. Welcome everybody.
So this is the first time we've played this, Jude. You're the hostess with the mostest.
Love a new little jingle as
New segment.
So we've seen this a little bit around the compliment challenge, and you've got to keep a straight face. I've given you both a set of cards. Don't look at the next one, Del. Don't be cheating. It's one round each, and you just keep going.
Compliment for compliment.
Compliment for compliment. But you've got to try and make the other person laugh or at least break into a smile. So it's a straight face.
Okay.
I'm good at this. I'm poker face.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
Do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay.
Then.
This is actually true.
Compliment.
You have the energy that brightens up every room that you enter, Del.
Thank you.
Loves a compliment. Loves a compliment, the big Del.
Gus,
mm-hmm.
You have a big heart and a warm smile that draws me in.
Thank you, my friend. Love you.
Very good. Neil Orr. Good job. Good job.
Your voluptuous buttocks are like a bronze statue.
That is very true.
You've got a good ass. I'll give you that.
Yes. Oh, I second that. Sorry. Gus, when you call the Ashes winning moment, you knock me for six.
Thank you, mate. That was a big moment for me. So thank you.
What are we judging that?
Pick up.
I think that's still nil all.
Yeah.
Very good. Straight face. Very
got
good.
Got to say I nailed it too, that moment. Del, your singing tonsils are a gift from the choirs of the heavens.
You've got to say it a compliment. You can't laugh at it.
That's obviously not true.
Mate.
Oh, we got it.
That was well done. Got it. Yeah, the singing hasn't been great.
Hey, you okay. Have a go though. Good on you.
That's my life mantra. Okay, Gus, every time you put your feet on the desk, I want to slather them in massage oil and rub them sensually. Oh, yeah. With those Crocs there.
So Gus wins that round. Yeah. Gus wins that round. Okay, yours, okay. Gussie. Go again.
You say that nobody loves you as much as you, but I need to tell you, you're wrong.
Gussie, don't worry about Jacko. I'll give you the greatest show, man.
Oh, that should be read. The greatest show, man.
Man, ever. Yeah, that's
great. I've got to win that. That's terrible.
Yeah, I'm giving you that, Gus.
Thank you.
Oh, mate, that's
amazing. Hey, come on. Go. You're going to drop this round if you save it straight face.
I wish I was a tube of pawpaw ointment so you could squeeze me out and lather me all over with your muscular arms and lips.
I like that.
Yeah.
I wish I was Karl Stefanovic so he could wake up with me today.
Really straight face.
Nice. I like it.
Said it with feeling too.
Yeah.
That was well read.
Thank you.
When you lift me up in the studio, do I imagine you were throwing me around like the opposing number five winger? Just ragdolling me wherever you want, just treating me like an amusement park.
That's just what I do, yeah. Gussie, I love you to the moon. I love you to the moon boot and back. That was good.
That's good.
That was good.
That's good.
It's ended up being 2-1 Gus's way.
Well done.
You are very stone-faced, but
very well done,
Del. You got him. You broke him down.
A couple of times. Yeah. That's great game.
Yeah.
Oh.
So are you the host all the time, or are we mixing it up between the three of us?
We'll mix it up.
I like it.
Yeah.
And that's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio tomorrow from 4 p.m. on Triple M.